Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron and John Ritchie. It is 94WIP. Great to be with you from Borgata today. And I'll tell you what's going on. The Phils are going on. They are happening, man. They are really, really playing some great baseball hot. And won a different kind of win. You know, one of the things that stands out, they're winning a lot of different ways. Last night, to come from behind variety. Fun victory. Look, we'll talk about that today. We'll do a lot on the Eagles. We'll do a lot on the Sixers today. Daryl Morey was on yesterday with Spike, and we'll get to that, his podcast. So an awful lot to do, including the Metallica tickets, all of it with you on the phone lines as we give them away today at 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hello there, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
Don't microwave grapes.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't think so.
It's this massive science experiment I didn't even know about that people have been doing now for a while, where they take a grape and cut it in half and leave a little bit of skin attaching the two halves, and then they start the microwave.
What happens?
It creates plasma. Creates plasma. I don't think we should get too deep into how it does all this, but it's going to mess up your microwave.
Wow.
Trust me.
Wow.
If you take a couple grapes, or if you take a couple orbs, like spheres or something that have liquid within them and hold them close to one another, and they'll resonate off of one another while a microwave is working, the microwaves work on them, it'll create plasma.
Well, don't
it's
do that.
A crazy science experiment.
I'll tell you what to do. Play the way the Phils are playing. Holy mackerel.
You're right. That creates plasma.
Yeah.
Lights in the sky, bright stars
shining
bright every
night. So, look, let's get to this here. I mean, another way to win. Great stretch of Phillies baseball. You know, here's the thing, and we'll get to last night's game specifically in a moment, but let me just start big picture. You know, nothing that they've done in the last 3 weeks proves that they're going to make October. Nothing in the last 3 weeks proves that they're going to win in October. To me, what the last 3 weeks shows, and it's similar in many ways to what the last 3 years have shown, is that they're likely to get to October, that they should get to October, and that they can win in October. Now, one of the things I really want to draw out today, and of course I want to hear from those that are enthused and pumped up and all that at 215-592-9494, but I'm also curious today to hear from the doubters, because the doubters were louder this past offseason and certainly in the month of April. That, you know, the naysayers were louder than the yes-sayers. They were. They were just louder. And there were more of them. And I'm curious today for those naysayers out there, what you're thinking now when you see this team. Again, if you call in and tell me they're going to stumble in October, I can't prove you wrong. But you can't prove yourself right. Here's what we know. They're a freaking good baseball team. They're really good. You know, and John, I thought last night specifically, and I guess I've said this a lot in the last week especially, but that was another one of those really fun wins.
I'll say.
I mean, that was a big-time comeback.
Coming from way behind, I will not deny that I was a bit worried. Even though, I really seem to be incredibly confident with a lot of our team's chances, comparatively speaking, and last night there were some dark moments when I'm thinking, man, this is rough. But we have a team with Trey hitting, and now he's running and stealing. I love that a lot. You know, please keep redeeming yourself, Trey. But our leadoff is a boss. You know, the bottom line, when
big.
This season started, Bryce Harper said, no more daycare, guys. And we have had mixed results. Like I said, I think it derailed the whole season at the start because the team didn't know how to be. The team didn't know how to act. And now they're learning. They've adjusted. They know how they're, you know, supposed to, you know, conduct themselves from within, and it's getting better. But, man, our leadoff, Bryson Stott, he has figured the daycare transition out. Bryson Stott, he's finally got the experience to go with the greatness, like, he's got inside of him. This guy is a baseball head. He always has been. And now he just gets to prove it every time he leads off. And, man, it has been it's been really cool to watch.
Well, and
I agree. I'm glad for him. He's the one who's really buoying the daycare, though, right now.
Yeah.
The daycare needs to come along with Bryson Stott, the guy who's trying to lead the way. You got Alec Bohm, who's, yes, he is growing up and responding to adversity, but I don't know if we have time to wait for Alec Bohm. Brandon, but still, last night, when Alec Bohm is up, I'm glad he's at the plate. I know that Alec Bohm is probably poised to give us the hit that we need when it matters. Like, that's the way I'm feeling when Alec Bohm's at the plate, despite all the mess. So, you know, that daycare, that's still, you know, up in the air. That he needs to focus in. He needs to get better in that regard. And then you got Brandon Marsh has the world's lowest batting average, but he made major roads last night, to major great plays last night, you know, helped us win that game when it mattered most with some clutch hitting, which was awesome to see. Brandon Marsh, it's been up and down and up and down. And, you know, we need it more up. We need that to even out. We need Brandon Marsh. We need Alec Bohm, those two members of the daycare to pull up on their end, because Bryson Stott, he's leading the way. He has done what Bryce asked for. And Bryce needs to do his part, too. Bryce has not been Bryce yet. Bryce, you start being Bryce, too. The daycare will start, you know, being grown up. Bryson leading the way.
Sure.
And this team is going to be hot when it matters most.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm psyched with what I saw. And it really is in line with what I expected before the season started. And they had those two rough weeks, and that derailed a lot of momentum. But I can't imagine there's anyone out there that's not, number one, encouraged. I mean, come on. I mean, if you are, let me put it this way. I'm just going to be frank. If you're so down in the last 3 years in October, and there were things to be down about in October, I'm not pushing that aside. But if you're so down about it that you're not now enjoying this Philly season, I feel bad for you, because I'm enjoying this Philly season. I mean, I got a team that I think's making October. And by the way, the Stott thing, John, he's now looking like an all-star. I'm not ready to declare it. It's too early. But, I mean, we knew 2 years ago in the 2023 season, and let's remember, that's when he hit the Grand Slam in the postseason, we knew that he had it in there.
I don't know how I feel with you throwing we around there.
No, in 23, I was very high on him. It was 22 and 24 that I was like, oh, I don't know about this guy. He's really showing something right now. And of course, last night specifically, and you can weigh in on all this at 215-592-9494. But last night specifically, the Phillies with the stirring comeback, if you missed it, let's give you a little taste, because the Phillies were down. Now, let's credit Lizardo for hanging in there. You know, this was not a game that the Phillies were on track to lose because the starting pitcher wasn't good. He was good. The bats just didn't do much for a while. But let's get to the eighth inning.
I saw a lot more attitude from him last
night. I like him, man.
I love Lizardo just because he's really good.
Yep.
But last night, for whatever reason, maybe it was the different park that, you know.
Wait, so negative attitude or positive attitude?
Different attitude. No, it was like tough.
Good attitude. Yeah, that's what I thought you were saying. Yeah,
like,
exactly.
He is like a take charge, like no nonsense, like boss.
I'm impressed with the dude.
I've been impressed with the guy. At the focus, I was amazed at how, like, there was a little simmering anger underneath it all. Like, he's got a lot to prove.
Well, he does.
Which I love to see. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was there like that.
Well, you want that bulldog. I mean, especially because that's a big part of pitching in October. I mean, it really is. Let's get to how they came back. You can weigh in on all this at 215-592-9494. Phil certainly were in a hole. They were trying to close out a series by sweeping it that they typically haven't been doing this year. They've been losing that third game a lot this year after going up 2-0 in a series. Well, last night it looked like they were probably going to lose. They're down 5-1. It's the eighth inning. And then in the eighth, Bryson Stott with a big hit.
Swung on, hit deep, right field. That one is long gone as Bryson Stott has cleared the stadium. He has hit one out of Steinbrenner Field. A mammoth three-run home run to right field, and it's a one-run game.
So the Rays have been getting those, you know, dink it over the wall kind of home runs earlier in the game, which, you know, in a lot of ballparks, I don't think those things get out. Stott's was not that variety. That was a shot.
And he
ballpark that would have gone out.
Yeah, that was big time. That was so. Now you're down a run. Now the Phils needed to use the ninth in order to come back. Great job by Schwarber getting on. Great job by Rojas going first to third. You get the sack fly to bring him in. By the way, you're getting big plays throughout the game from JT defensively. Now you're in extra innings, so you've tied it up. Extra innings, you get that ghost runner on second to start it, and it was Marsh, Brandon Marsh, who has had so few hits this year. It was Brandon Marsh in the 10th inning that gave the Phils the lead for good.
Marsh swings and lines one to left center field. That's down for a base hit. Sosa will come home and score. Marsh headed for second. It's a leadoff double to start the 10th, and the Phillies have a 6-5 lead.
And then after another Trey hit, which gave the Phillies an additional run, let's get to the bottom of the 10th. You'll hear the emotion in Scott Fransky's voice. If you missed it last night, this was a fun one. This was one of those games where it was really enjoyable to see the Phils with what I'll call a stirring comeback. Strom with a lot of emotion out there. Fransky with emotion when it was Strom in the bottom of the 10th that closed it out.
Strom was awesome.
And the 2-2 again. Swing and a miss. He got him. And the Phillies come back and beat the Rays in extra innings. And they complete the sweep. 7-6 the final as Matt Strom gets the final out for the save. And the Phillies have swept the Rays here in Tampa.
That's
you know,
big time
that, that was, you know, that attitude that we were talking about with Lizardo that I hadn't seen as much as I saw last night. That's the attitude, the Strom attitude.
Yeah.
Strom's got the attitude. It's the attitude that's like, yeah, I'm up here on this mound for
swagger.
A reason.
Strom has
and
a lot of swagger out
two
there.
Letters. I'm not going to try to say what I was going to say. But, like, you know, he's going to say stuff with attitude.
What are the two letters?
I don't think I can say the two letters.
Oh, okay.
Wait, two letters? Is that Strom or Lizardo?
Yeah, like Strom is thinking these letters when he's...
Huh.
Letter.
Devin, I can't figure it out.
Does it start with an F?
Yeah, no. Oh. It's two letters and then er.
Oh.
I still don't have
oh.
it. Okay, well, apparently John's being a good boy
you
today.
You got it? Anyway, Strom. No, these guys have a reason to be cocky. And they are pitching. They're pitching so well in part because they've got so much confidence, and it kind of builds on itself. It's great to see them feeling that confidence right now.
All right, Phils get it done again, and this time they sweep a squad, which obviously had been harder for them to do earlier this season. Wonderful to be with you from Borgata on this Friday morning, heading toward Mother's Weekend. We'll tell you how you can win the Metallica tickets today on the program. Let's go to the phones. Want to hear from people. Hopefully you're fired up on the Phils, but you tell us. 215-592-9494. Let's get to Mike calling from Norristown. Mike, good morning, bud.
Good morning, brother. How are you?
Good, pal. Excited. Very excited about the Phils.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. What a great comeback. They're playing like a force together. I hate to say it because I don't want to get too excited. I got the Eagles vibes with the Phillies, man. But I don't want to get too ahead of myself.
Are
man,
you saying April year, reminded you that 2-2 Phils or Eagles, and it's all starting to come together?
Yeah, I think so.
But he doesn't want to get ahead of himself.
Right, exactly.
I don't want to get ahead of myself. I don't because you know we looked good last year, the year before that, and October came, and boom. It's like, you know, you go on a prom date, you finally got that girl, and you guys hook up, and then she just stunk. Like, it was just terrible.
Ouch.
Now, did she, like, actually stink? Like, smell stink?
Oh, no,
just...
no, not like that. Oh, that's, okay. No, I wouldn't say that. That's too vulgar. I meant, like...
I didn't mean like that! Good. Just meant bad B.O. Come on, man.
Oh, no, just... Oh, they, like, was not good. Ooh. Like, underperformed, let's say. Let's put
oh,
that
my
way.
God. Can we stop?
No,
you need to stop with this. God.
What is happening?
What is
exactly.
Happening? I'm with you, John. I'm
appalled. John Ritchie, my guy. I have a number 40 Raiders jersey from back in the day of you, man. I've always been a fan.
That
I played
is awesome.
When I played back in the day, you were the guy I looked up to, man, for real. Besides Tom Rathman.
Thanks.
You were the man.
Yeah, I agree. Tom Rathman was amazing.
Buddy.
I appreciate it a lot.
John, who's the best fullback ever? Is it Rathman? Is it Moose? Who is it?
Jeez, I don't know. I thought bar none. William Floyd. Holy cow.
Before
man.
He got hurt.
Yeah.
Because that injury completely derailed his career.
You remember?
So pre-injury
before,
was only about 2 or 3 years. But before
oh my
the,
gosh.
Oh, he was incredible.
He was unstoppable. He was like the ultimate weapon at fullback.
Yeah.
Lining up in front of the tailback.
Yeah, I remember.
And he was, you know, a better athlete than the tailback in some cases. That was amazing.
And for those that don't know, the Bar None nickname was because I think it was before the draft. I think it was his agent, not him. Wasn't it the agent that said he was asked about him? And he said his name was William Floyd. And I think it was the agent that said he will be the best fullback in football, bar none.
I love that nickname.
And then his nickname became Bar None. Yeah, that's an underrated nickname, man.
You're right, it's a great nickname. But but Tom Rathman was the epitome of the West Coast fullback. Tom Rathman was the best of the best, and then he taught. He's still teaching backs. Like, he is still a coach in the NFL somewhere. I'm not exactly sure where. But, man, the guy has endured. So he's got to be
at
the top
of
that list.
Yeah.
And Darryl Johnston was, man, despite the fact that he played, 10 years for the Dallas Cowboys.
Nah, he was legit.
He was absolutely awesome. Yeah, unstoppable. Yeah. And did all the grunt work. Never, ever. Did all the stuff that just sucked.
Well, and his running back
until he can't even carry grocery bags anymore because his neck's so messed up.
That's a shame.
The guy was a warrior, and no one appreciates the what he endured. You know, like the way that it was just silent.
Well, Emmitt Smith appreciates it because he got the
absolutely
record.
Right.
In part because of it.
All of those yards in part were paved with his sweat and tears in that offensive line.
So, hey, when you call in today, you can win Metallica tickets. We're giving away tickets to see Metallica coming up in about 2 weeks. The Metallica M72 World Tour, which is happening on Sunday, May 25th at the Link. So this is Memorial Day weekend. Believe it or not, we're 2 weeks away from Memorial Day weekend. So on the Sunday of that weekend, May 25th at the Link, tickets, by the way, still on sale at Ticketmaster.com. You can win them here today, and here's how. First off, a happy Mother's Day goes out to all the mothers out there, which obviously Rhea includes you. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much.
Of course, Richie includes you. Happy Mother's Day. You've been
both.
You've been kind of both for a few years.
He gets credit for Mother's Day.
Thank you.
100%.
Love.
Sort of. I mean, there's a lot more that goes into it, though. I can't imagine the first part that.
No. No.
Devin, do you want to be a mother someday?
Oh wow, that's yeah, sure. I'm a dog mom, so like I count myself as somewhat of a mother.
No big
deal to me.
Rhea, what's it like to be a mom?
I love it. I've it's the coolest thing ever, and I love having a teenager now. Teenagers are
I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say that.
No, I mean, listen, do they drive you nuts? But you have conversations with them that are pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Because they're kind of almost grown up.
Yeah, they're like real people now.
Yeah, and you can have fun with them, and he's a good kid. So he was more crazy when he was five. Mm. Yeah, five is not the terrible twos in my mind don't exist. Five is an awful age.
Well,
they're horrible human beings.
We've met him, and I was very impressed.
He's a good kid.
He's a great kid. He really is. All right, so here's the deal. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Take care of the moms this weekend, obviously. 215-592-9494. Hopefully the moms like Metallica because you can win a Metallica tickets. I know, the concert's in 2 weeks. But here's how you win the tickets to see Metallica in a couple weeks. Give us a great answer today for the best fictional mom ever. All the movies, all the TV shows, all the plays, all the books, all the fiction out there involving the moms. Whoever provides the best answer, you're going to win the Metallica tickets. John Ritchie, what are you thinking? What's percolating in that mind on a mom?
I was thinking back really just yesterday to my time here as when I played as an Eagle.
Yep.
I sat on a teal leather sofa. I mean, it really was almost like midnight green leather sofa in front of a TV often while doing rehab and things like that, a machine that would straighten and bend my leg while I was coming back from the ACL and stuff. And I remember so distinctly the Super Bowl with Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson on that sofa.
I'm trying to figure out where the mom comes into this, so I'm with you. Go ahead.
Waiting for him to land the plane.
That 70s show was on nonstop in my house.
When I played
here in Philadelphia, I watched that 70s show every single day, and it was on like six times every single day, even back then. So, Kitty Foreman.
Yeah.
Kitty Foreman was such a sweetheart. She was the ultimate mom. She would do anything for those kids. And she reminded me of my mom, of Gigi. She reminded me of Gigi a little bit. Felt like that had the teacher vibe going on at all times.
I like it.
So that was mine.
The teal sofa was yours? Yeah.
What's
Where
that?
Does the teal sofa come into this? That was yours?
The teal sofa was, was my sofa.
There we go.
So Dan Wilson.
And it had a recliner built into it. Teal leather sofa.
Dan in for seltzer today. Dan, give me an answer for a fictional mom. What are you thinking?
How about Estelle Costanza? It's a funny one.
Yeah. I mean, not exactly the sweetest, but.
No. You know.
But she's got a sarcastic warmth to her.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Mother's Day. It's not let's go into the Army Day, but okay, fair enough. Devin, give me an answer on a mom. What do you got?
I'm not a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. Amy Poehler, Regina George's mom in Mean Girls.
Rhea, what are you thinking here? There's so many moms out there. What are you thinking?
Well, I had Kitty Foreman as well because 70s show, John, I was the same way. I absolutely loved her. So I'll pivot and I'll go old school, Carol Brady.
Yeah, well, Carol Brady's
a fun show. If you rewatch it,
I know.
You don't realize like how funny Alice was. It's a really good show.
Well, Brady Bunch was great. Let me go to one this century and one that actually not a mom, but she liked to say she was. Who is it, Devin? Not a mom, but she liked to say she was.
From
this century. Not, she would constantly say she was a mom, but she wasn't a mom. The mother of dragons.
Khaleesi?
Khaleesi, the mother of dragons.
I would have never guessed that. But right, you're right. I guess she wasn't
she was not a mom.
Mother.
She was not a mom, but, you know, John.
She's like me. She was the mom to her dragons. Well, I'm the mother to my dog.
She certainly claimed. She claimed.
Well, that's still a mom.
It is still a mom.
Yeah, absolutely.
She didn't birth him.
I am.
Well, you don't have to birth a child or anything to be a mom.
She didn't get stepmom legally.
Yeah, okay, I like that.
Turner swings, bouncer up the middle. It's through for a base hit. With the infield in, Walls couldn't get it. And in to score is Marsh.
Well, the Phils certainly crashed the Rays party the last couple days. That was impressive. And what a lot of different ways. A lot of different ways. Last night, the comeback variety, down 5-1 in the eighth inning. And it is now the eighth game out of 11. I mean, John, that's one of the things I think that really stands out. They're slugging, man. Mm-hmm. The eighth game out of 11 that they've scored 7 or more runs.
How about that?
How about that? Devin, you pumped up on the Phils?
I am. I'm trying to temper excitement because baseball is such a long season. So, you know, regardless, something actually Max Kepler said at the very beginning of the season was after he hit a home run at the home opener at Citizens Bank Park was, you know, I know that there's going to be lulls and highs, and this is one of the highs. So I think keeping that in mind, you know, there probably will be a stretch where they're not hitting as well, and we're all going to panic and say that's not going to work. Look, as long as they're hitting and playing their best baseball at the times that matter most, I think that it's an exciting team, and I think that they're playing really, really well. And I think it also says a lot that they're winning and scoring lots of runs. You mentioned 7 or more in their last in 8 of 11 games, and Bryce Harper isn't even hitting well right now.
No, he's not.
So I think that goes to show, you know, how talented this team is and can be. And I also think, you know, to Richie's point, the start of the show with the daycare and the business like mindset that they kind of take in, I feel like we're really starting to see that work for them. It's starting to click. Like their business like approach is working because we're seeing business like fight. Like last night, they clawed their way back in that game and ended up winning it. And that's something that I don't know if this Phillies team could have done at the start of the season in April.
Well, we'll ask you, you know, for the first time during the season, this Twitter poll question. We asked it prior to the season. We'll ask it now during the season in early May. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question, which team's going to win the division? The NL East, three choices. The Phillies, the Braves, the Mets. Who wins the division? Phils, Braves, Mets. Obviously, the Mets have been leading, I guess, since around the first week of the season, something like that. Phils, Braves, Mets, who wins the division? Tell us at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, let's also give you a sense of what Daryl Morey was pushing out there yesterday as he made the rounds. And one of the shows he popped on was Spike's podcast, the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. And, you know, the big question, obviously, is about Joel's knee and really moving forward. But there's also the looking back variety. What happened? Why did it happen? Strategically, did they make the right or wrong decisions? Let's listen to Daryl Morey talking to Spike yesterday about things that have happened the last 2 years when he came back to play the Knicks in the playoffs and then how they handled it over this most recent season. It's still going on at the NBA, but it feels like it's been over for the Sixers for 5 months. Daryl Morey yesterday.
Do you regret any way that you handled it? And do you think coming back for the Knicks series or playing the Olympics had an adverse effect?
I think we were doing the best with the information we had at the time. I think we, you know, I obviously sitting here now with a very rough Joel year, it's even more front and center that we don't know how many years we have with Joel. So we felt like it was the right thing, especially given the doctor's advice that the playoffs were the right thing last year. With the benefit of hindsight, I think you can maybe say, okay, we know we lose to the Knicks. Why do that? But it also could have gone very well. This year, again, we making the best decision on the best medical advice. We, you know, like the plan that he's on. We like he's with the guy who rehabbed Kawhi, did his surgery, is leading his rehab. Joel was, you know, in New York. Working this week, earlier this week with him. He has his guy as a big part of the process. So the work is there. And, you know, we shall see. I guess we shall see. But we felt, given the information we have, it was absolutely the right thing we did.
Well, I'll tell you this. If a doctor said he should play and he'll be okay to play, the doctor should be fired.
Yeah, I mean, that still hasn't been answered, right? That question. And he I noticed how he kind of skipped over the Olympics question.
He did.
He didn't answer that part.
He did not.
Because I think if you put true serum for Morey and everybody at the Sixers, they probably didn't want him to play in that.
Probably not. I would agree with that. Probably not. Yeah.
But I just, they're still, like, what? Just tell us what's, you know, just be honest. We all kind of have an idea what's wrong with it. But he was particularly vague about it.
And what would you say your idea is? Degenerative with the
yeah, I think he's got arthritis. Yeah, I mean, yeah,
that's what I've heard. Arthritis.
I mean, I don't think there's any doubt.
He's 300 pounds.
Exactly.
He's got degenerate. Yeah, degenerative chronic change.
Yeah.
That is holding him back. And you know, with the Olympic thing, that is so complicated to criticize.
Why?
His choice.
I'll speak for Rhea. Why?
To represent his country.
Well, the second one he decided to represent.
Yeah, his choice to represent his country. Like it's not.
You know that part to
that
me doesn't
I
factor in, John, because at a $200 million contract, you have a greater responsibility.
I understand, but it's not
really
something. It's not something if I'm the Sixers that it's easy to argue with Joel about or argue publicly about.
I think it is. When you're paying someone $200 million, I think it's very easy to say, we don't want you to play, period. Now, let me be clear.
I wanted him to play because I didn't
know how bad the knee was.
I had no idea it was as bad as it seemed
right now.
It must have been horrendous.
I think coming back for the Knicks series
through.
Is what killed him. I'm telling you, John, the more I think back, like he always bounced back. Until the Knicks series. And then in the Knicks series, you could see that he simply couldn't play near 40 minutes with sustained excellence. He'd give you a 10-minute burst and then do nothing for 10 minutes.
Okay.
And like something that was.
And that could also just be a reminder that he is no longer a spring chicken. You know, it's been.
No, it's not about that. It's about the knee.
Quite a while.
No, because he's young enough.
Injuries.
Look, he didn't decline. Overnight with all the other parts of the body. It's just the knee. The knee couldn't answer the bell anymore. Look, we'll ask you what your reaction is to what you heard from Daryl Morey there. We're going to play a lot of Daryl Morey audio today because he gave a number of comprehensive answers, many centered around Joel. I mean, let's be real. That's what we really care about. You know, who really cares about his opinion on Jared McCain? I mean, yeah, get in there, you know, improve from last year's injury. Come back.
I'm telling you, rookie of the year until he got hurt.
I mean, the whole, you know, Joel is the sun in this universe. And without him, they're obviously screwed. So we'll play a lot of audio related to Joel, the knee, and things Daryl Morey said yesterday. You can react, 215-592-9494. Also, give us the best fictional mom of all time. Best answer, whoever provides is going to win the Metallica tickets. And your thoughts on the Fight and Phils, who are showing a lot of fight these days. Logan in Delaware, as we broadcast from Borgata. Good morning, Logan.
Morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Logan.
Good. Does Mike Allstott not make the conversation?
You know, I thought of him. I think he deserves.
But we hate him.
Yeah, like I
if you dotted the
I think he's a notch below.
Like he did, then he's tailback too.
Logan, that's the thing. He was the best runner of the fullbacks, clearly. Yeah, I mean, modern day fullbacks. I'm not talking Jim Brown and you know, modern day fullbacks, he's the best runner. But I don't think he was the blocker that Darryl Johnson or Tom Rathman were.
But they didn't really ask him to be.
No, that's right. That's right.
For sure. So on the Phillies, I feel like what was encouraging about the game last night in particular is we actually finally saw like the bats wake up and actually make a difference in a game within a game. Like it's not like they, you know, went hitless from the fourth inning on and then couldn't get it going. And I think that's what really good teams do. They might have a slump within a game, but they're able to hit out of it. Unlike, you know, in a similar way in the Mets series earlier in the year, Stott hit that three-run home run to get him within one, and then nothing. And I feel like that fight that they're showing is different. And I also feel like in the ways that they're better and that they're actually starting to come into their own with their new approach at the plate and all that, it feels more sustainable than last year when they were playing like one of the best teams of all time. You know what I mean?
Look, let's be real, Logan. One of the things that stood out in this series, sure, they had a three-run homer last night, but they really manufactured some runs. I mean, the bottom line
Trey
is...
Trey was stealing.
Yeah, you had that.
Rojas stealing.
Rojas first to third was big. I mean...
It felt like a really, like, truly complete team win. Everyone had some sort of contribution offensively.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, the first to third thing last night did make me wonder... Why was it not a mistake that he pushed it past second to go all the way to third in that situation?
Because he saw the carom.
There were two outs.
Or he anticipated there were two outs. Where the ball
I know, but it was awfully close.
Well, of course it was.
But the other night, what was it? It was a similar situation where he was scrutinized for taking third. And it really was reckless when he did
it. I'll say this. Usually, when – and ballparks
this
are different.
Felt like it was never a question that he should take third or try to take third. But there were two outs. He could have been thrown out at third.
Yeah, but
– and we didn't at any point say, what the heck is he doing?
Here's what
I'll
say.
Like we did the other night.
A fast runner on first base where the ball gets past the first baseman often is going to get to third base.
Yeah.
So I think he knew that and was willing to take the chance. But it was close, and it was a good tag by that third baseman.
Sure was.
But he,
it was awfully close. It was way closer than I thought it would be when it was all said and done.
Yeah.
But it just made me think, like, holy cow, it really does feel similar to the other night. We are not in any way upset, though.
All right, Logan, well, you got there. Logan, give me a great fictional mom.
He got there the other night, but we were upset that he risked it.
Logan, what do you got? What do you got, bud?
I'll go with Molly Weasley. From
Harry Potter. Oh, okay. Good answer.
Yeah, she's so motherly.
That is
a great. She's
kind of the idea.
She's got a lot of
So
she's got a lot of love.
So let me ask you this: would Linda Hamilton in Terminator not be motherly?
I thought about naming her.
She's less motherly. She can do more pull-ups than I can.
Her arms were ripped.
She was so
tremendous.
Ripped.
What was her name? Sarah Connor. Yeah.
Sarah Connor.
Absolutely. All right, let's go. And by the way, I'm curious your reaction on the Joel stuff also. Patrick in Tabernacle. Patrick, what's going on, dude?
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Doing well, Patrick.
So,
how many Terminator movies are there?
Well, there's
interrupt.
Only two that count.
Yeah. How many are there
I don't
now?
Know. Two that count.
But I agree with you. I don't know what happened after
T2, right.
Because there were a bunch of them, and like Christian Bale was in some of them.
Yeah.
But so it seems like it should be good.
It's kind of like
Christopher
Reeve Superman thing. You just forget about 3 and 4. It's like you had 1 and 2, and then just same concept. Just keep it simple.
But how many are there?
I literally don't know.
Okay.
All right, Patrick, what do you got, bud?
Hey, real quick, Daryl Morey, boy, what a that's pulling teeth listening to that guy speak. First of all, I just can't.
Yeah, he's not a very compelling.
No,
public.
He's a disaster speaker.
He really is.
At least he didn't sound too out of breath in that one.
No.
So that's good.
But the problem is you have to sit there and parse through a lot of nonsense to get meat out of anything.
I agree. And you know what the other problem, Ray? Well, two things. One, I don't think he really is keeps it real with you.
No.
And two, and this drives me bananas, how he could do this but knows not to. He doesn't speak like he's at an MIT convention. Like he speaks... You know, like Howie Roseman speaks to Philadelphia, and I'm not trying to say we're dumb. We're not dumb. We're just common sense people. Talk to us in normal lingo.
Yeah.
You know, Maury gives you all that analytics crap sometimes, oftentimes, and I'm not in the mood to hear it.
No.
I don't want to hear it.
Answer a question. I got to get all this other stuff. You know,
don't give me the AI impact and influence.
Just
be a freaking regular guy, man. Very aggravating there, Patrick.
Yes, it is. Anyhow, listen, man, the Phils.
By the way, notable, he didn't come on our show. You know, he goes on Spike's podcast. And
that's a weasel move.
I mean, three different times in the last couple of months, I put the bat signal out there for him. And squat up.
Here you go.
Yeah.
So, listen, man, the Phils, Joe, yeah, everybody, I'm one of these half-empty guys with the Phils. But yet, I've always prefaced this by saying, like, I'm totally in on this. I'm in on this team, and they're a really good team. You know, I get that. And prior to, you know, this last trip we're on, you know, looking ahead for me, it's always the Memorial Day check-in. But I thought this last couple weeks going up to Memorial Day could do something, and we're seeing it. We're definitely seeing some things. But the only thing I'm saying right now is, as far as this series goes. Listen, I don't know. We're talking a lot of things. It's great to see the bats going. We just beat up on a little league team.
Well, and they're not as good as they used to be. That's obvious.
No, like seriously, there's and first of all, JT is, you know, that guy is a stud behind the plate, just straight up.
Patrick, you know what struck me this weekend with his defense? This week with his defense? Because I've thought about this a lot over the last couple years. I think there's a really good chance he's the best catcher the Phillies have ever had.
Wow.
And obviously the ones that come to mind in modern times would be Bob Boone and Dutch.
Boone.
And then, you know, JT. And I was young for the Boone thing, so let me be very candid to everyone who's older than me that saw the Bob Boone thing. I can't really know. How can I know? I can't. I didn't see Bob Boone much.
Dutch was really great at handling the pitching staff.
He was.
JT is phenomenal defensively.
Well, here's the other thing about Dutch, and you guys know I say this with all love. Me and him were legitimately friends. I loved him. We hosted a show together for 3 years. But Dutch stunk until he didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of times we think back to the 3 or 4 years Dutch was great, but there was the 5 or 6 years that he wasn't very good at all. And so the reality, and now knee injuries played a big part of that. Sure. I want to be very clear. The guy had a ton of injuries, and that was a huge part of it. But the consistency that JT has provided to Phillies over 7 years, where he's pretty much always a top five catcher in baseball. Now, this year, the hitting is, you know, finally tailing off, and it's inevitable, as it happened with Bob Boone, as it happened with Dutch, as it happens with everybody. But I think there's a very legit chance JT is the best catcher overall the Phillies have ever had. And that's saying something.
There you go, Joe.
All right. I need someone who's 100 years old to call in and tell me if I'm right or not, because I really don't know. Patrick, give me an answer. Great fictional mom.
Real quick, Joe, you just said something. The Phillies, one thing I will say is the Phillies, I think, possibly, like, they're not, you know, we're not winning the World Series until we win it. You know, they're pecking away.
You are correct about that. I tell you what. That's a true comment, Patrick.
But Joe,
they cannot win it until they win it.
Now listen,
I'm putting that in the next update.
Right, but everybody knows what I'm trying to say. Anyhow, yo, how about this?
What?
The best fictional mom. I use this address fictionally all the time for people. This mother lived at 1313 Mockingbird Lane, and that would be the one Lily Munster.
Ah, you got it, man. Boy, that's a different variety right there, the Munsters. Devin, you got anything on the Munsters? Probably not, right?
No.
Do you know the difference between the Munsters and the Addams Family?
Yes.
Because I don't, and I watched all that stuff.
Are you kidding?
What
so
was
I,
the
I know the Addams
know
Family.
The
Munsters, like, I've heard of, but I couldn't.
Well, they were
picture.
Both weird. What was the difference? Yeah. I don't remember.
Well,
they were both weird.
I was more of a Munsters fan than the Addams Family.
They were. Just
total weirdos.
Are they like
shows.
The same universe?
Same
why
sort
are we
of concept, but different shows?
Okay, so
right. What's
different.
Like I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched?
Yeah,
it's like the same. Yeah.
I was weirdly obsessed with I Dream of Jeannie. It would come on Nick at Night.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It
when
was
I was like
on
a
there.
Kid, yeah,
so
I thought it was cool.
Joe.
Come on,
didn't
man.
You tell us about that?
Not really.
I think maybe it obsessed in a different kind of
on.
Way.
That ain't right, man. Just the horny hammer comment again.
I thought you
was that
had
Barbara
a
Eden?
Special fondness for Barbara Eden. You know her name.
Was,
look
yeah,
at that.
Yeah, who doesn't know Barbara Eden?
Well, I think a lot of people don't know.